often accompanied by contradictory ones, evidence of squabbling factions with different agendas, not all of which involved the flotilla arriving safely at Journey's End. Now and then a general news report was picked up, and the ships of the flotilla even learned the unsettling truth that there were factions back home who were denying that they had ever existed. By and large, these attempts to rewrite history were not taken seriously, but it was disconcerting to hear that they had gained even a toehold. Too much time and distance, Sky thought, the words playing in his head like a mantra. So much boiled down to that in the end. And what it also meant was that the ships of the flotilla became less and less accountable to any other parties save themselves, that it became easier to collectively suppress the truth of whatever had happened to the Caluche. Sky's grandfather, or rather Titus Hausmann's father, must have known exactly what had happened. He had imparted some of that truth to Titus, but perhaps not all of it, and it might also have been the case that by the time Titus's father had died, even he had not been entirely sure what had really happened. All they could do now was speculate. There were, in Sky's opinion, two likely scenarios. In the first, there had been some dispute between the ships which had culminated in an attack on the Caluche. It could have been extended to the use of the landscaping nuclear weapons, though Titus had spoken of the radar echo of the ghost ship fitting the profile of one of the flotilla vessels, there might still have been crippling damage to her. Afterwards, the other ships might have been so shamed by their actions that they had chosen to blank them from the historical record. One generation would have to live with the shame, but not the one that followed. The other idea, and the one Sky favored, was less dramatic but perhaps even more shaming. What if something had gone terribly wrong with the Caluche, a plague aboard her, say, and the other ships had chosen to offer no assistance? Worse things had happened in history, and who could blame the others for fearing contamination themselves? Shameful, perhaps, but also perfectly understandable. What it also meant was that they would have to be very careful. He would assume nothing except that every situation was potentially lethal. Equally, he would accept the risks involved because the prize was so great. He thought of the antimatter which she had to be carrying, still dormant in her penning reservoir, waiting for the day when it should have been used to slow her down. That day might still come, but not in the way her designers had ever anticipated. Or, for that matter, any of the other ships. Within a few hours they had escaped the main body of the flotilla. Once a radar beam from the Brasilia lingered over them, like the fingers of a blind person probing an unfamiliar object. The moment was tense, and while they were being scrutinized, Sky wondered if this had not, after all, been a fatal misjudgment. But the beam moved on and never returned. If the Brasilia had assumed anything, it must have accepted that the radar echo signified only a chunk of receding debris, some useless, irreparable machine jettisoned into the void. After that, they were alone. It was tempting to fire up the thrusters, but Sky kept his nerve and maintained the drift for the 24 hours he had promised. No transmissions came from the Santiago, satisfying him that their absence had not yet become problematic. Had it not been for the company of Norquinco and Gomez, he would have been more alone now, further from human company than at any point in his life. How terrifying this isolation would once have been to the small boy who had been so terrified of the dark when he had been trapped in the nursery. Almost unthinkable to have willingly drifted this far from home. Now, though, it was for a purpose. He waited until the exact second, then turned on the engines again.